Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114-281-408.
Future Sounds.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
1212, how's it going? This is Shlomo. You're listening to
Sheffield Live.
Yes, guy. 3rd of July. We're right here with, you know, the man called Mr. V.
Evening. Yeah. Nice to be back. I was under some pressure last week, so I'm back now.
What kind of pressure?
I'm talking blood pressure. As in nose bleeding, not blood pressure. You know what I mean? Because when it's too hot, I get nosebleeds bad. And so then it wipes me out. So, you know, so this weather's all right for some who like the hot. But I'm a man, I like it cool.
Yeah! Sweet talking sport. Radio chat show. Presented by myself and of the special guest, a man called Mr. V. Is yours truly, right, Yasso. Straight to the point. Dealing with the latest sports news and stories with both interviews. Join an audience that fit today's modern day society devoted entirely to discussion on sporting events, whether local, whether national. Good to go. On air, expansive debate and analyse by Water With this evening as part of our regular programming. Probably Yorkshire's best talking sports show you'll ever hear. On point. You can listen every Friday or most Fridays, 6 till 7. And if you're late for that date, you can catch it on the archives anytime you like. You know, so without further ado, I hope nobody's listening, but if you are, keep everything you hear to yourself. So I'm going to jump straight in, and can you remember Frankie Dettori, the jockey?
Yeah, I do, yeah, we used to jump off the horse.
Yeah, man.
He used to jump off, he's a big Arsenal fan, isn't he?
Well, I never knew he was a...
Yeah, he's an Arsenal fan, him.
He was one of them people there.
Yeah, he's an Arsenal fan.
Uh-huh.
But his showpiece used to be that he used to jump off the horse.
Well, but, I mean, 55 years old. We're still doing a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not in this country, but he went over to Brazil and the US. Obviously, big name in the horse kind of like jumping kind of scene. You know, he was involved in a collision last Wednesday evening, Newmarket near Suffolk. Dettori had a collision in a car, and what happened was he broke several ribs and a tom. You know? So the car apparently flipped over. I'm not sure what kind of speed he was going, but for a car to flip over, you know, I think it's fair to say that you've been travelling at a decent speed in the vehicle. So it flipped near Newmarket in Suffolk, and it was the rear passenger side of the car. De Torre has kind of like retired. He retired in February early this year, spanning a 40-year career as a jockey. 40 years. That's
a long time.
Some kind of career, that isn't
that
it,
is
really?
A long time. And, you know? And to be fair, it was a very good, you know, good time being a jockey for him, right? Because he won quite a lot of races, him. And I'm not talking...
Definitely.
I'm not talking your little races. I'm talking then your big races. You know what I mean?
I kind of second that. Every day of the week and twice on Sunday, you know. Like I said previously, De Torre, you know, was doing his thing over in Brazil and the USA also as well. He's due to actually race in Doncaster when they've got the Ledger Legends, and that's sometime in September. I'm not sure whether he's gonna be on point for that one, but we'll have to wait to hear what the people say. I mean, nobody likes to see a jockey or a sport athlete, so anybody really, suffer any kind of injuries, but De Torre is not ridden in this country since October 2023, so like I said, quite active on the scene, but in different parts of the world. It was like I said, due to return in September. It's up to his management team and also how he feels about it after having that crash, because I mean, when you, I don't know what it's like to, you know, bust several ribs and stuff, but I can imagine it be quite painful.
Definitely, you know? Especially when you're trying to move and whatever,
and also to heal as well, you know what I mean. I presume it's just kind of rest and physio and stuff, you know, maybe be in a lot of pain, you know.
Does it say what kind of car you were driving?
No, they didn't. Okay. They didn't really say, but the Cambridgeshire police said that there were no arrests. An investigation was ongoing, you know, because it was a traffic-related offence. De Torre said that, you know, he kind of like thanked the emergency service for kind of like sorting him out. Now, I think if that was one afui,
right,
breathalyzed and all them kind of things, and right, you know, they would have been looking for something.
Okay.
You know? You know, we're not just talking about looking for a needle in a haystack. They would have looked for something for pin pan smaddy. You know what I mean?
Right, okay.
But what they say about De Torre, no arrest. You know, you didn't really expect anybody to be arrested. You know, he doesn't really say if there was anybody else injured or anything like that, any
bystanders.
So nobody
else involved?
Not according to press, but somebody must have been... somebody must have seen that.
Okay.
Somebody must have witnessed that. You know what I mean? But is it the kind of like same kind of like stories, you know, over again? But anyway, we kind of wish De Torre... a speedy recovery, you could say. I want to kind of pay kind of respects to Maddy Cusack. Remember the lady what kind of sadly passed away? Sheffield United. It's an ongoing case, this. I mean, you know, she were Blades midfield, you know, the tender age of 27 years of age. She was found unconscious back, you know, September 2023. It was her old man who kind of like found her unconscious at the time. I mean, you know, he must have been having nightmares about that, finding your daughter, you know, unconscious. I just want to share a couple of key points, really, because I think they're kind of important. And it might raise one or two eyebrows also as well in the process. So, I mean, key points, you know, Sheffield United, it was said by one of their ex-physios, and we're talking on the women's side, they said that they thought that United didn't have enough resources to look after their women players, you know, following a switch from part-time to full-time. So basically, it was probably like a conveyor belt, 100 mile an hour. Okay, right, we're full-time now, so these are the things what we probably need to do. And a physio's gone on record to say, in her opinion, she didn't believe that, you know, the trajectory, the kind of like speed of the switch was right. Didn't really feel right. I mean, the physio was there from, you know, 2021 and 2024. Felt that the transition was hurried, was kind of like rushed. And already you get to kind of like picture things behind the scenes, how, you know, if people are saying that things didn't feel right, was kind of rushed, it was almost like things was done in a hurry, like, you know, 100 mile an hour type of stuff. You know, another key point, members of the squad, their mental health and well-being was causing concern, more than Maddie's prior to, you know, prior to her death. So you've got the club trying to shift in the fast lane.
So you're talking about moving from amateur to, well, to basically pro.
Well, from training part-time.
Yeah. To full-time. Yeah.
Which requires a decent path. I think you've got to have things in place before them kind of like moves should happen, you know. And then obviously the players' welfare, their well-being also being taxed as well. And Maddie herself also had her concerns towards the manager at the time. A guy who's been named as, I'll call him Mr. Morgan. And the treatment she received is coming out to say, you know, some people felt that it was unfair. Although the physio at the time didn't really see that. So Maddie's family do blame Mr. Morgan for the deterioration of Maddie's health. And the inquest got held up a little bit because the coroner wanted to hear more kind of evidence. So it kind of resumes on the 8th of July. So, you know, it's going to be long, and it's going to be quite interesting. You know what's going to come out of that? I mean, I can remember Maddie's family saying about, you know, Sheffield United that, you know, it wasn't doing enough and so on and so
is
forth.
That, when they say not doing enough, is that to investigate her death? Okay.
And also on the whole, about the whole thing, I can remember going to some matches and, you know, when it came to... say a certain time, yeah, you know, people kind of like
started,
you know,
clapping.
Yeah, gave, yeah, paid some kind of like respects, you know?
A tribute to her.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, there's been some kind of like big things. I mean, Mr. Morgan has called Maddie out and said a few kind of unkind names, which I'll not go through. But yeah, it's just like, it's going to be interesting to see what verdict, the end verdict is going to be, you know. But yeah, mental health is a massive thing. Can affect people from,
without a doubt,
you know, without all walks of life, and it can lick you at any time too.
Any
given time, there's no escape. Nobody escapes from it. Everybody's got mental health.
All it needs is that trigger.
That's right.
That's all it needs.
And when I say, you know, that everybody's got mental health, some people say, "Hey, what's he talking about? I ain't got mental health." But it's how you kind of manage your mental health. You've got a threshold, you've got a baseline, and unfortunately some people are, you know, detained through their mental health. Some people will manage it through medication, some people in secure units, some people in prison, some people, you know, are in the community, you know, sort of living, you know, day by day. So there's lots of different levels of mental health, and if you need any kind of help out there, don't be shy, you know, just chat to your friend or your family member. That's if you kind of link with them.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
Because we know how difficult that can be at the best of times too. So yeah, I just thought that kind of like just share that, you know, people may hear little snippets in the news, but you're going to hear more of that as well. You know, this is Sweet Talking Sport. It's 1817. I'm here with the man called CV. And, yeah, if you've just missed the start, don't worry about it. You know, you can catch it on the archives. Yeah, I mean, sport is dominated by tennis and obviously football, the World Cup. We've got Wimbledon running alongside. So Wimbledon, it's normally just during the afternoons and stuff. And sometimes when I'm taking a little my little break, yeah, I kind of switch over and I can get right into it. So I can't watch it too quick, you know, because we just dip on it. You know what I mean? Them kind of rallies are kind of heavy. And the other sport, obviously, what's dominating is obviously the World Cup in Mexico, Canada, and the USA. Just want to talk about some kind of like free agents at the moment. And there's been some big dupes as well who are out of work. I mean, you might be able to kind of shine some light on one of them. Or a few of them, but as of, well, between the 2nd of July and the 14th, the players still active in the World Cup are technically unemployed. Not that I think the guys who we're going to mention are going to be kind of like desperate looking for work. They might just take a little extra holiday. I mean, when they report back to duty to their clubs, I think some of them will link on to teams to keep themselves fit. Some of them might have to prove their kind of like fitness. Some of the players here we're talking about, John Stones. I mean, has he been lined up with anything as far as you know, Mr. V?
As far as I know, I'm aware the only team that I knew what was showing any interest in was Everton. Right, what? Mm-hmm. Nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, John's been an absolute fantastic servant to Manchester City. And, in fact, Everton before. But, obviously, his career really developed when he played for Manchester City. So, yeah, I would like that he would...
to find would, something.
Yeah, get a position.
I mean,
somewhere.
What kind of wage do you reckon he'll command when he moves?
Well... he's in the hundreds now.
And they'll not pay that fee.
He's not paying that for
somebody. Unless he goes to something like Saudi or something.
Yeah, I don't see any team playing that. He could possibly command something like a 50 or 60 grand a week, but not in the hundreds.
I mean, Mr. Stones has won 50 major trophies, Tuchel decided to take him with him. A lot of people, that raised a lot of eyebrows. People were saying, what am I to Trent? What am I to Walker? You know what I mean?
It definitely raised an eyebrow for me, because I'm going to be totally honest with you, right? As you know, I support Man City, right? And he really played for us. So I'm thinking, wow, he's taking Stones. But yet, Maguire played a lot more for Man United. And I'd say, if I'm being honest with you, so this is showing it, I'd have said Maguire were a better option than Stones. But
yeah. And he's played him a couple of times too. He played him at right back the other night, innit?
When he come up, when he
Jed took some stick from Thomas. You know what I mean? You know, Thomas did cuss him.
Yeah, you mean
side.
Jed Spence?
He cussed him. Yeah,
not just by.
I hear that. I hear you.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not just saying just by Tuchel. I'm talking.
Yeah.
We're talking about
enough of them.
Yeah, we're talking about the supporters, the England supporters.
Yeah, I mean, Thomas just blew his tank pan him.
He did.
Yeah, in a big way.
He did. Thomas the tank engine. Yeah.
And they did a little thing on TalkSport with Kyle Walker, and they were saying about the right back being a little bit of a problem, and Kyle said, yeah, they haven't had much luck really, because James.
Injured.
It carries a little bit of weight, but he moves it kind of quick. Yeah, twisting up ankle and all them something there. You know what I mean? He flung Rice in that position for a little bit, but Rice was knackered. You know what I mean? So he was not fit for purpose at right back. You know, after when Jed getting tank blow off by Thomas Toots, you know?
Yeah, because you could actually see him really giving it him.
Yeah, he gave it to him big time.
Yeah, you could see.
And I thought Jed was just going to turn around and just cuss him out, but...
No, he's a professional.
He just took it. I mean, can you imagine if that did happen to one of we? You know what I mean?
Well, I would say,
Nation will watch it and him waving finger upon you in fierce and all them stuff.
Yeah,
there.
I saw that. I did see that.
I probably might have just scored an own goal and said, take that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Okay. And just, see it there.
Okay.
Nobody disturb my peace.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know what?
Yeah.
What happens when you disturb man peace? And then he brought Stones on to cover that position, they'll be sweating.
I were laughing though, to be honest. I thought to myself, well, hold on a minute here. You've left Trent Ayard, right? Because you don't rate him. If you don't rate him, there's some problem between you and him.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So you've left him Ayard. You've brought what I call... Misfit Reeve, what do you call him now? Plays for Chelsea.
James.
Right? He's broke down, isn't he? To be fair, he's broke down.
And they did say, the pundits did say, if there's a problem,
yeah,
you know, they might go feel it. And so, he who knows it feels it.
So they fetched him. So I laughed on the other night when they were playing against Congo. I said, you've got 100 million price defender. I mean, midfield player playing in a de back. In a de back four.
They must
right
patch
back.
It up, innit? They must
right?
patch it up.
I thought, wow, my word.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, It's coming home.
That's what them think. So, yeah, and then we've also got Casemiro, 34, I believe is going to be staying in America.
Okay.
And Beckham's got a deal with him.
Okay.
Yeah, so watch that. Released by United due to huge wages, despite an outstanding final campaign at Old Trafford, Casemiro from during the World Cup has been patchy, you know. But big name, big shoulders, America would love him out there, so you know what I mean. Alba, 33, he's also surplus to requirement. Fabinho, Brazilian. Altait, Mo Salah, 33, Egyptian. Altait, I think Mo's kind of probably destined for place like Dubai and Saudi, and you know, just for just sat out there, so innit, you know what I mean.
The money's there,
yeah, man. Colombian Rodriguez, last club was Minnesota United. So there's some big players. I mean, Modric,
Luka,
40. Would he hang up his boots now, do you think? You know, I thought he got around the pitch last night pretty good against Portugal.
Yeah. Luka Modric
did kind of well. So free transfers there. Some kind of interesting ones. We'll see. We'll have to keep tabs on them guys. What they can do. Sticking with the World Cup now. Want to talk about, do you think that the toppers, the players are kind of like protected? Where I'm going with this, because when Messi bust his hat-trick against Algeria the other day, right? He kind of, I'm saying that he should have seen a red card. Now,
Messi should have done.
Yeah, I'm saying that he should have seen red. You know, I mean, for those kind of like, obviously, if you've got video or you have your phone and stuff like that, just kind of like putting, you know, Messi 100% should have been shown a red and absolutely nothing. Now, if that was another man out there, so yeah, I think he definitely would have
would have been looked at
a different something. And I just think, you know, when you've got players like that. And it's kind of obvious. I don't think it's kind of like good for the game. I mean, there's always going to be a little bit of teeth in here and there, but when it's kind of like, you know, kind of like blatant, I just think, you know, you've got all that VAR stuff, all that kind of like equipment, you know. I mean, just listen to somebody.
Are you gonna dance around this one or?
No, I'm gonna approach this the same way Messi did, and I think it probably should have been a red card in my opinion. I think it feels like the moment was missed, because obviously the stills are making it look quite bad, but when the player was on the floor, you could see Messi had a level of concern towards him, because he knew that he potentially has just done something there which could get him in trouble. And I think the referees probably missed it. I understand why the referees missed it, but for the video assistant referee to look at that and say, "No, that's all fine. There's nothing more to it." I personally think that is worthy of a referee.
If there's ever an argument to say the big players, the big teams,
Listen, in the commentary, they didn't even say anything happened. We were just watching the video of it. It's like, oh, that's quite bad. And they were like, yeah, well, you know, it's good to see Messi pressing.
Right. And 100% a red card for Lionel Messi. Should have been. Should have been. I'll tell you what else is concerning. And it plays along this narrative that great players get preferential treatment. When he was about to score a hat trick and the goalkeeper, Zidane, actually made a save.
Yeah.
They showed Gianni Infantino smiling. I was like, oh, man, that was close. Ah, that was close. And it does play into that narrative. Oh, yeah, this guy's get a different sort of treatment. We don't even have to see the still. If you see the live video, it felt like a bad challenge to begin with. Then you see the replay. And this is a bad challenge. Somebody has to take a look at this. Why is Simon Marciniak, the referee, not being called over to see this? It should have been a red card for Lionel Messi. As much as I love Lionel Messi, that was a clumsy challenge, a bad challenge, and you're raking the back of somebody's cap all the way up from the knee down to his ankle. Should have been a red card.
Moving on from that, I thought Argentina were really going to struggle in this tournament.
I looked at it 4 years after.
You know, I mean, why are the players like that, you know, getting presidency treatment?
Well, I agree with what my man said, right? He looking at them stills, he definitely goes down the back of him,
rake him up in it.
Yeah, so I would. He should have got the red card, but because it is Messi, it does make it a bit different,
you know. I mean, you know, sometimes I think, like I said, what's the point in having VAR? I mean, it's supposed to be in a like an emergency safety net to fix, you know, clear and obvious mistakes. You know, what ref, you know, they kind of like can review it. The VAR team, you know, constantly are watching reviews, replays. They can interrupt things, you know, they can, you know, chat to the ref and stuff. And I mean, obviously the referee sees things in, you know, real time, but like say it's you've got the VAR to kind of like help, and there's always going to be teething moments with VAR, you know what I mean? And I just think that you've got all that technology. I'm not saying every single time it should be right, because you've got to allow for human error. It should be right more than it is wrong. It should be consistent. It should be fair and accurate across the board.
I'd go along with that.
You know?
I'd go along with that. I mean, VAR, they say they bring it in so that it stops all the arguing and debating. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I don't believe it does. Sometimes I think it creates a debate.
Yes, definitely. And it created another debate, because you've got when USA dealt Bosnia 2-0 in the early hours of yesterday morning. You had kind of like a player following you, who was sent off following VAR intervention, and following you, it clearly shows he accidentally fouled the player, because Bologna was like falling awkwardly on the player's ankle, you know, after being sort of like off balance. So, you know, you've got Messi, who clearly rakes a player down the back of his ankle, nothing, no VAR, nothing, and then you've got a player who accidentally falls and catches him, and then, like I said, that's awarded a red card. So there are plenty of, like, you know, inconsistency. You know, I mean, you know, the FIFA tricker books. Can you remember Fixed Tricks? What used to be on, like, back in the days, you know, little teething program, like. Well, I'm going to call this FIFA
book of tricks. So they're saying that if a player or a team official is sent off as a result of a direct or indirect red card for a second yellow card, they will be automatically be suspended. And if they quote this in rule 10.5, also a further penalty can be awarded. So they might say, do you know what? Yeah, that's a red card, but on review, we're going to suspend you for two games and stuff. Because the Americans were thinking, yeah, that's an accident, so maybe we'll kind of appeal it. You know, that was the initial thought process of the Americans, you know, fans, players. They thought, yeah, we'll get it overturned, so Bologna will not be missing a game.
Well, he didn't know, did they?
Well, this is another thing of FIFA's teeth in book of rules, because it doesn't say anything about yellow or red cards, one match ban being subjected to an appeal. So there's no appeal,
right?
You know what I mean? So right. It's not like, you know, league business or, you know, Premiership and that, where, you know, if the manager or player believes that he's being kind of like not treated fairly for whatever reason, the club can appeal that decision. But for FIFA, they're saying, we ain't having it. There's no appeal whatsoever. And that also, I mean, seeing as that we're on these kind of things, that also brings us on to when England played Guyana the other night. Was it on Tuesday, innit?
With the penalty.
There was another thing. This was when the Guyanan player, Prince, advanced in the box. And then you had Ezri Konsa. Right. When him just scissor him. You just take him out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Proper foul.
Proper foul.
And, you know, I give the pundits and stuff enough respect for this, because they didn't hold back. I didn't hear any pundit hold back at all. They said, you know what? England have dodged a bullet. You know what I mean? And they've been very, very lucky, because there wasn't even a question about Gutuvard. Referee never get nothing. I mean, even on some kind of platforms, even the BBC, they're saying that VAR went for coffee and all them kind of thing. You know what I mean? Which just shows how much, you know, they've been taking the mickey, you know? Like them going for coffee. You know what I mean? I just think some of how kind of stupid does some of these kind of like things go, you know? Get absolutely stupid. So listen to Sweet Talking Sports, 18:38. You're here with Mr. V and myself. Sticking with the World Cup is the current theme of the show. What kind of team has kind of like caught your eye so far? You know,
is there
anybody out there what you think, yeah man, they're looking kind of suave?
Yeah.
They're looking bad. They're looking dangerous.
There's France. They're just sweet like chocolate. You know what I mean? And you hear that tuna called sweet like chocolate.
It's just
just sweet, man, sweet. Right? I'm rating them up. Right? What else could I say? Looking alright. Even I'd have to say the USA have been performing quite well.
I like the way that Al Poch has set them up.
Yeah,
they're looking kind of dangerous, them.
Yeah, I did.
USA.
Say, yeah, I did say that.
And back in the day, there was a bit of a laughing stock.
To be fair,
when you know people say, we play soccer, you know what I mean? You know, American football, baseball, and basketball. That's our game. You know, we ain't into this football malarkey and stuff. But
and I would,
you have to take them serious.
And
no?
The other one I would say, yeah, what was looking good was them last night, Spain. Mm. They looked good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you drew Japan in your sweepstakes.
I did.
At work, and they went out to the mighty Brazil.
Only just.
You know? But, yeah, I mean, yeah, that was a 2-1. But they say, you know, some people will say it don't matter how you win, as long as you get it over the line, that's the main thing. I mean, they're saying, like, you know, if you look at England, they've not been playing particularly well, but they're still in a heat.
They are.
You know what I mean?
They are. They are.
And you need luck. They are. In any kind of sporting effect, you make your own luck.
They are well in it.
You know? And you have little looks there, so. I mean, I'm keeping an eye on for me team.
Oh, is Switzerland.
Is the Swiss. Still kind of... still looking strong. They dealt Algeria 2-0.
Okay.
Early hours of the morning.
I never saw that. So
yeah, it was an early hour shift. That
okay.
You know what I mean? Two. Okay. And I tell you what. Yeah, they look good. Okay. They've got some athletes in that side. Play some good football. Top end of the pitch. Yeah, they can be open up, but them have a few strong men in there, Xhaka and that, you know, like a rock stone, you know, like Fred Flintstone, you know, tough, them tough like them boy there, you know, like Barney, you know, Barney Rubble and
yeah,
that,
yeah,
you know, and don't forget
yeah.
Bam Bam,
yeah,
them tough, them boy they tough, you know.
Yeah, because
yeah.
Didn't he play for them, Isaac?
No, he's Swedish, isn't he? Isaac.
Right.
You know?
Isaac, he's right.
Yeah.
And who's the other one that who plays up front for Arsenal? I know what you mean. I know what you're talking.
Yeah.
I forget what he meant, we didn't call him again now.
Yeah. Yeah, he make that little sign with him and like a mask.
Yeah.
Like say a Zorro.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Be careful because he won't get Zorro.
Hey!
He won't get, you know, that.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to the stage now where things is taking shape for the World Cup.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of adding up.
Yeah.
You know? Just sticking with my team, actually, Switzerland, they will be playing either Colombia or Ghana. You know what I mean? So,
okay.
I would take either one of them nations.
Okay.
I would take either one of them because I'm confident that they can do it. You know what I mean? So that should be a good kind of like round. That yeah. Listen to Sweet Talks. It was 1844. Just talking about the World Cup and teams that kind of like catch your eye. Like I say, CV's mentioned, like, France looking kind of dangerous.
Yeah, they might look strong,
like Cadbury's chocolate.
Honestly, they're looking good.
Mbappe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then you have the man then called Dembele. Yeah.
You know?
And my man ain't come on yet.
Who's that?
The jerk out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a jerky.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, jerk chicken there, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Hey.
You know, jerk out.
Yeah.
A real team, you see?
Yeah, I feel mind them, and then, them baller there, you know.
And then you've got my man, that Alice.
Heavyweight. France.
Real team, me.
Is heavyweight. Yeah.
To say that some people have been.
Yeah.
Some people have been like, kind of like having a go at him.
Is it?
Say, yeah, they've been saying things like. Arise, how's he playing for France? What part of him is French? So I thought, what are they talking about? And they said, you know, how can he be playing for France? What part of him is actually French?
Mm-hmm.
What's connected? So you really need to read up, because Arise. His dad is Nigerian, right? And his mother is Algerian. But his mother was born here, but she lived in France. So she was like a French national. So she speaks French, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying, oh, why is he playing for them when he should be playing for England, right? Mm. I said, but he did play for England in his youthful days, but obviously they never rated him. They didn't think highly of him to put him in the England side, right? So obviously he takes the opportunities when it's there. So he's took the opportunity and he's gone to France. He must be good to get in the France team, because look on it. Look on it. So when they're going on with them, the silliness about, oh, because one guy said, oh, so that means if I'm born in a stable, that means I must be a horse then.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, what are you talking about? What are you on about? At the end of the day, right, if an opportunity occurs, you take it. Because as I've said to him, you see the guy that England, most England fans are jumping up and down, mm-hmm. and even talking about Sir Harry Kane. His parents, they need to Google his dad. He's not.
Where them come
from? They're Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Not English. See what I'm saying? Mr. Rice, the £100 million player playing right back. Right? For him, he's Irish.
And he's had, he's got. He holds Irish cap too, you know. I think it's what, under 18,
yeah, something like that. Him and Grealish,
yeah, what cap for them.
So, what are you talking about? If he gets the opportunity to better himself, right, and with all due respect, I do believe he's bettered himself by going with France, because France win things. We're still waiting after 60 years.
See it there.
Do you know what I mean? So when I'm hearing them foolishness about, oh, Alisa, he shouldn't be playing for them. He shouldn't be playing for them. Well, who should he be playing for?
Mm.
And then you've got Semenyo, who plays for Ghana. Same thing again. Bringing that up. Oh, Semenyo, he shouldn't be playing. He shouldn't be playing him for them. He should be playing for England. But he did. But England didn't want him.
Yeah, let me just use them sometime, innit?
So,
you know, give them a taste and just fling them where.
So, for me, you play where you feel you needed, you wanted.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know what I mean?
I agree with that, big time, you know? And then, you know, yeah. I mean, going, like we said, you know, the last 16 is getting hotter now. And then, you know, some of these tickets was originally face value was about 460 buff. That's what, 605 $605. $605. Apparently now, on the black market for
here we go.
England and Mexico clash.
We're talking what? We'll say 5,000.
22,000.
Oh, there you go.
800.
There you go.
Yeah. And I tell you what, if I had one of them, I'd try to double that price. You know what I mean? I'd go out there and just for sell it.
Well, you and know? You could probably get it as well.
Yeah. I'd say, show me the money. You know what I mean? Because I tell you what, there's going to be some right teeth. Imagine if, who's going to draw out that? 22,800. What are you going to do? Do a bank transfer or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's going to be the next thing, the transaction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
How'd you do it?
You know, can you do a little trust business? Mm. Yeah? How can you trust a man if he says, yeah, I've got a ticket. Wait, ticket there. See it there. How much you want for it? Give me 20 grand. So then what? Get a bit digi and say, yeah, just see me account there. Transfer that. When it drop.
Then you get the ticket.
Yeah, then you get a ticket. But supposing you did a little bogus business and say, yeah, just drop the money in the account. I'll check my account. And then you just go missing. You know what I mean? And cause some bad aeration and that. You know, that's how then, you know, things happen. Things get spill over, you know. But yeah, 20, 22 grand and the rest, which is equivalent to $30,000.
But you'll buy it if you've got it. If you haven't got it, you won't buy it, will you? Because
you're thinking the geography of that to, like I said, you know, to make that kind of transaction without getting, you know, teeth. That's going to be difficult, isn't it? You know, there's a 15% fee for free for the buyer to pay, taking the cost to $26,000. So FIFA take their little slice on top of that as well. So not only are you paying your 22,800, FIFA is saying, yeah, we'll have some of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's where the greed comes in. That's 57 times face value. What are they doing out there? You know what I mean? The seller must also pay FIFA 15%, like I said. $3,420, but that would still leave a profit of, well, 19 grand per ticket, that is. The cheapest tickets available has a total cost of 2,620 face value. 224, nearly 12 times the original price. And it's all about that, isn't it? Teething and that, getting tickets and stuff. But yeah, you're making some corn if you've got if you've got one of them tickets. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Just a bit of gossip here, really. There's gossip that that Kane's going to sign another deal for Bayern Munich, but also Barcelona apparently have been sniffing around Kane also as well.
After?
Yeah. But, you know, Vincent wants Kane to sign on the dotted line. I think Kane's going to get his head turned by the Spanish Sun. You know what I mean? Because they want him to replace Lewandowski, the German who retired some time ago. So that's Kane. What do you reckon to Anderson's move to your guy? Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people giving him some stick. I don't rate him.
What's the price he's gone for?
Right. Well, it's 116 really.
116 mil.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The same. Why would you pay that for him? What, he's not special, he's rubbish. And I said, rubbish? Isn't he one of England's safety pins in midfield. He clears up, he passes, he does the job. And they were saying, yeah, well, 100 million for him. That's the going price now, isn't it? Because they're all asking for them big prices now.
It's true.
That Morgan from Aston Villa, I'm telling you, is in the 100 million.
Yes.
Right?
Strong Morgan. Yeah,
and then you've got that other one who they've just, is it to Dolly? Just, if you move down a little more, yeah. That's him there.
Yeah.
To Spurs. He's in the Tonali. Tonali, he's in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you know,
I mean, I heard some Forest fans talk about Anderson, and they were saying that he needs to be shaking Gibbs White's hand.
Oh, okay.
And this was hardcore Forest fan. They were saying, you know, and you had to kind of like listen to the guy. He was saying he's good player. They said 160 mil, not worth that, not yet, but good player. And they said that he has to respect Gibbs White for making him that player, because Gibbs does the work.
Right.
Anderson plays off him.
Okay.
So they said that at Sider, Gibbs White look good. You know what I mean? But they said that not really worth it. And they went as far as saying Gibbs White should have been in it rather than him. You know what I mean? You know? But then, like, do you get the seesaw effect? You know, when you have every weight upon one side.
Yeah.
And light weight upon the other side.
That's right.
That seesaw now balance right.
That's right. And then what happens
is, you know what I mean?
The heavyweight pitches off the lightweight, didn't it?
Yeah. Bones him off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I like it when them boy they talk some little truth. You know what I mean? But yeah, 1857, time's running out.
Very much so, very much so.
And a very kind of, you know, righteous kind of like event you've had this evening, you know. Yeah, and you can catch it up on the archives.
Yep.
I just want to say that, you know, I'm kind of bowing out this evening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to just let you listen to a few tunes.
Well, you know? Let me just say something to you. Are you going to be staying up on Sunday night?
Stay up for what?
Oh, come on. You know, it's 1 o'clock.
You know?
Lads are playing. You know? What?
My bed, I call me at them times. Oh, Rasta. Yeah.
I'm loyal
to my bed.
Oh, I thought you'd have been.
You know,
I thought you'd have been up at 1 o'clock, because you know, I was saying to some of them today at work.
Then times me, I draw two Z and all them something there, you know, and let the muscle them replenish for the next day.
Okay, well,
you know what I mean.
I was telling some of them that you're looking at a 4 o'clock finish if it goes into extra time,
yeah,
and penalties,
and then I just fall asleep next day upon
Yeah.
At school and all them something, and can't get up for work and
that's
all that.
Right.
That's something there, you know. Mm. I'll just look at the aftermath.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
The next morning when we get.
What was your prediction? Do you think it's going to be a Mexican win or an England win?
Well, Mexico, very kind of cute in not kind of conceding a few goals. Mexico go 100 mile an hour. So the first 20 minutes, I expect Mexico to get a goal.
Okay.
That's when they lay it on. They lay it on big time.
Okay.
And then they kind of settle down.
Mm.
And England haven't really started too tough anyway, have they, in these tournaments? So I guess it's a slow start. First 20 minutes, 1-0 Mexico.
Okay.
And then they could sneak it to a 2-1.
Okay.
Could sneak it a 2-1.
Okay, yeah. well, we'll have to see. We'll have to see.
Yeah, have we got a prediction from Mr. V?
Me? Oh, it could be very close. That's what I'll say. It'll be very close.
And you've
very
heard it
close
from we this evening. In a bit.